Lots of teams have been trying to figure out ways to estimate or size work, and some teams don't even size at all. And we're going to talk about some of these on this episode. None of the approaches I'm going to talk about measure outcomes, and that's a really important point. A lot of people get confused between sizing effort and are we actually going to make a difference? So that's crucial. So let's not forget about that. Sometimes people use story points. I'll refer to that later on. I don't recommend it, but some people do. And they get them mixed up with value points, which some people use for estimating value. So take that with a pinch of salt. Okay. But regardless of the approach, the level of exactness, they're all devalued by the same things, really, which is like, how severe are your impediments? Are you treating risk proactively enough? If you have a backlog, for example, are you bringing items up the backlog or input queue? And if you've got a suboptimal approach to dealing with dependencies, regardless of your approach, you're going to struggle. I would say if you are going to estimate, the best thing that could happen is that you actually get it right. Most of the time, we get it wrong. And there's three reasons I can think of. But one reason that estimates tend to be wrong is how long things take has very little to do with the actual effort. A lot of the effort is to do with waiting. Another reason would be accidental complication, which is maybe the result of a mess we left behind us before. And so we thought we could say this is something like we did last year, but when we opened the hood, when we opened the bonnet, we could see actually it was very different. And complexity, of course, just makes it even more difficult to get that right. Estimates are prone to the flaw of averages, although there is something interesting that Dave Snowden brought up, that when fishermen were asked to locate where a particular object was, the average of all of their independent blind estimates wasn't far off, actually. But unfortunately, people don't tend to do those blind, in my experience. I think the most offensive thing about estimation is that people don't take into account how many product backlog items we're working on at the same time. If you don't estimate, at least you didn't waste time estimating, because estimates are almost always wrong. And maybe you can just get to your outcomes sooner. Call me a cynic, but maybe the worst thing that happened is what usually happens. The developers should do the sizing. I would normally rule out time estimation and cost estimation, and I would even rule out story points. But because so many people are using story points, we're going to talk about them in this session. T-shirt sizing for me is less offensive. Even if we later on convert those t-shirt sizes back to story points, because it doesn't take that much detail to get a t-shirt size. So let's look at some of the options and let's look at some of the upsides and the downsides. So different options have got time estimation, cost estimation, historical time reference, story points, t-shirt sizing, wall estimation, three-point method, which is where you basically get a high, mid, low kind of an estimate. The number of items, throughput, so how many items do we deliver per sprint, for example, if you're using Scrum. Right sizing, which would be make an item small enough that we can act on them so that they're basically actionable. And then there's the hashtag no estimates movement as well. So I'm going to kind of touch all of those. In terms of the upsides of time estimation, and that could include, for example, person days, perfect days, things like that. It doesn't require Scrum education. It's about trying to find some positives. And it does speak in the customer's language. Customers are interested in time at the end of the day. In terms of cost estimates, what could be positive about that? Again, it doesn't require much education. It does speak in the customer's language as well, because it's about cost as well. And it's usually estimated in sprints, although done badly. I've heard people using function points. I've even heard of a consulting firm actually recommending function points, which is making me almost vomit just thinking about it. I'm trying to be positive. Let me go back to be positive. So then this historical time reference. I had a bit of a light bulb moment when I was trained at a certified less practitioner class at Bass Fodda in San Francisco a few years ago. And he actually uses time reference. So he would say, well, that looks like an item we did 3 months ago, and that took this amount of time, and so on. The upside of that is it includes waiting time. If you think about it, you don't remember, oh, I estimated that was going to be 5 days. You remember that it took 2 months. And so that's good, I think. And much more useful, I would say, for what I call slice of cake teams, where you have all the skills within the team. You don't really have dependencies on other teams. And of course, less is oriented around that. And again, it speaks the customer's language. So while initially I was time, you estimated in time, but actually it's such a genius in including waiting time with historical reference items, but prone to accidental complication, which is not seeing the mess that's actually in the stuff that we did that before that maybe will affect that time reference. Story points, a lot of people say numerical values and so on. Developers do, and Kanban system members, they do value discussions on a relative size. I think that is useful. I think where story points gets a little bit lost is when you try to use it for forecasting. Developers do get a better sense that they've discovered relative complexity when they've had a chat about story points. And people say that the conversation is important. It's also a way to limit work in progress in a sprint if you use, but maybe there's a better way. And I guess it's time consuming though if you use a thing called planning poker. Planning poker takes a while. The approach I don't mind so much is t-shirt sizing. Again, you do get those discussions that we just talked about. So people can discover complexity that way. And you can convert t-shirt sizes into story, and I've done that. And so that's all very useful. It doesn't require very much detail. When you use t-shirt sizing, people don't seem to need that much detail. And I tend to use that in combination with wall estimation. In fact, what I would normally do is I would ask the team to basically put the product backlog on a wall, like maybe a story map or an impact map or something like that. And I might ask them, what's the smallest item on the wall? And we might call that small. I would never use extra small. And then I'd ask them, are there any other items roughly the same size as that? And then they run out of those, and then they go to the next size up and so on. And before you know it, the whole wall is sized in 20 minutes. Pretty much any backlog the last few years, no matter what size, we've been able to size the backlog in 20 minutes using t-shirt sizing and then converting it to story points. So you have numbers that you can use as reference. 3-point method I don't really use, but I can see how it could help with probabilistic forecasting. The jury's out whether you should use story points to done with probabilistic forecasting, as in the backlog could be this small, could be this big. We have sprints that are this bad or this good. And so I guess 3-point estimates give you the minimum and the maximum, but there's other ways of doing that. So I haven't really used it, but it's a way of doing it, I guess. I personally prefer throughput because essentially developers can ballpark a range of items that they can deliver in a time period, like say a sprint of using Scrum. So if you're basically saying, well, we deliver between 3 and 5 items in a sprint, and we're bringing in 8 items this sprint, what are we doing? And you could actually use this across multiple teams, whereas story points, not so much. They tend to be just for the team. Right sizing is a technique that would support throughput because you don't bring elephants into a sprint, but you should break them down. And the advantage of right sizing is you don't worry about whether something is a small or a medium. Does it fit within a sprint or not? Or does it fit within your time period or not if you're a Kanban team? And then there's the hashtag no estimates people where they say, well, sizing is always wrong anyway, which I agree with, and allows them to focus on discovery and delivery and just find stuff out. And they do have a focus on having small batch sizes anyhow. So there's a bit of overlap there with right sizing, in my opinion. So there'd be some of the upsides of some of those approaches. But you remember I said earlier, I'm a bit of a cynic. So what could go wrong with these things? So with time estimates, they could be really detailed discussions about sizing, and you're having to get lots more detail and so on. It can also lead to a utilization mindset. I actually had someone in a training class with me recently, and she was really struggling with this, where a leader was basically looking for all the hours to be booked for the week for every member of the team. So that's where that can go really bad. You can't really use time for probabilistic forecasting. It's not an output. And when was the last time you had a perfect day? So I don't know. I wouldn't even talk about it normally, but anyway, I don't know why I did, but it's there. We just talked about it. But then cost estimation, the downside of that, again, developers tend to request more detail. It's really less useful for sizing individual product backlog items, I would say. People might say that's going to take that the mini sprints or whatever. I've seen people using function points, which I don't like, and I don't think I've ever used, and I'm feeling anxious even just saying those words. So let's move on to the historical time reference. With historical time reference, you do need some reference items from the past, and it's prone to accidental complication. It's also prone to the utilization mindset where people need to be kept busy. And again, you could not use it for probabilistic forecasting. I don't think I've ever used time estimates actually in my entire agile career, which is like going back to 2004. Story points. Well, even the person who thinks he might have created them, Ron Jeffries, he thinks he actually regrets creating story points, an offside kind of thing. And they're really only for the scrum team, but people tend to normalize them across teams, which isn't very nice. Prone to abuse by people with a utilization mindset. They could be used for probabilistic forecasting, but should you is the question. Fibonacci is the trend, but my fear is that Fibonacci is not exponential enough. I think there should be a bigger difference between the t-shirt sizes. T-shirt sizes then, what are some of the downsides of those? They're prone to size inflation, just like story points actually. I call it story point bingo. You could also have t-shirt size bingo as well, because if people know that those t-shirt sizes are going to be converted into story points later and they're going to be measured on velocity, yeah, there could be a bit of inflation there. Again, prone to abuse by people with a utilization mindset. And they could be converted to story points, but should you use them for probabilistic forecasting? Yeah, a lot of people have doubts about that. Wall estimation doesn't seem to have that many downsides. It does open up the possibility for size normalization across multiple teams, which can be seen as a good thing or a bad thing. And it doesn't really take into account the number of items that are working on the same. Just like any of these approaches don't really take into account how many of these items are working on at the same time. The three-point method opens up the possibility for size normalization, which I see as a bad thing. It might be used to expedite planning poker, because planning poker takes quite a while. It doesn't really take into account, again, how many items, like all of these approaches, how many items do we have running at the same time. What you could do, I guess, but not whether you should or not, is you could convert the min-max to probabilistic forecasting, basically. In terms of throughput, there are some downsides to throughput as well. I do use throughput, but I just want you to be aware of some downsides. It's prone to the use of epics as product backlog items rather than product backlog items in themselves. And it's a bit counterintuitive. So even though people, when they play Twig, for example, they can see the usefulness of it, people are so against it, they're so strongly biased towards relative sizing that even though throughput is really good, people seem to have some kind of psychological block with it for some reason. It's also misunderstood that all product backlog items need to be of the same size. And we're not making sausages, we're doing knowledge work. So all that matters is the items are right-sized. And people can push back as well, because they might say we're mixing apples with oranges, particularly in non-software. I have seen this where people in marketing might have one type of work, another type of work, and they're saying that it doesn't resonate with, doesn't click with them, because it does feel very different. So that can be a problem, but there's ways around that as well, because you could look at the throughput for apples and throughput for oranges. And you could use it for probabilistic forecasting, but it gets less useful if you're not delivering things in most days. If you are, for example, doing Scrum and you don't deliver anything, you've got 2 week sprints and you don't deliver anything until the last day of the sprint, your probabilistic forecast will be weaker than most forecasts, because the limits that you're setting are saying, well, most days we deliver nothing. And one day out of 14, we deliver a few things. This doesn't make for very good ranges. So your histogram of possibilities won't have that many items. And for that reason, it's could have a low quality forecast. So be careful with that. A lot of people think flow metrics, rah, rah, rah. You really need to be considering, are we limiting our work in progress? Are we looking at our work item aging? These are the things that all the Kanban people will be looking at. So when people talk about throughput, you also need to be not ignoring the other flow metrics that are there, like work in progress, work item aging, WIP itself. How many items do we have running at the same time? Right sizing as well, in terms of looking at the downsides of right sizing. If you have lots of elephant-sized items in your bag, then throughput isn't going to really help you, because the idea of right sizing is either it fits, it's too big or no way. And if it's too big or no way, you should break it down. But the level of urgency in terms of you break it down depends on a few circumstances. So when you're looking at your backlog, might be showing you the full picture. Educated people on Kanban would know how to deal with that, but it's something you need to watch out for. And again, the misunderstanding that things need to be at the same size. There's a bit of a disconnect as well in the Lean Agile community is about whether you can use product backlog item split as an input for probabilistic forecast. So I just have that down as a potential downside, because people might disagree with that. In terms of no estimates, it does have some downsides, in my opinion. And one of them is, in a vacuum, stakeholders are much more likely to make up arbitrary deadlines, and they might even make untenable ones, probably. And people lacking Scrum education as well could put pressure on the Scrum team to use some suboptimal approach. So by picking hashtag no estimates, if the org isn't ready, the people aren't ready for that kind of an approach, they might force us down the route of some approaches I can't stand, like time, for example, or story points, instead of actually maybe looking at some better approaches like throughput or something like that. So there are some of the downsides of those approaches, some other considerations as well. So what could you because it's not as binary as you do each of these on their own, what could you combine these things with? So time estimation, you could combine that with t-shirt sizing, same with cost estimation. You could also use historical time reference as well with cost estimation. T-shirt sizing could also be used with historical time reference. Story points could be combined with t-shirt sizing, and in order to do damage limitation on story points, I probably would. You could also combine it with three-point method. Wall estimation, you could use story points with wall estimation, but I've never done that. I always do wall estimation with t-shirt sizes, because then it wouldn't take 20 minutes to estimate any backlog. It'd probably take me 7 hours. In fact, it did in a broadcasting company in 2016. It took us 7 hours. And then I used throughput and probabilistic forecasting, and it took 15 minutes. So I never did story pointing again after that. With the throughput, the number of items that you deliver, you'd combine that with monitoring WIP and cycle times and workout imaging. With right sizing, you could combine it with hashtag no estimates. I think the no estimates people, they do focus on smaller batch sizes. So it is useful to look in on that. And in terms of the usefulness and complexity, overall, I would say time estimation, cost estimation, historical time reference, and story points have low usefulness in complexity. I would say t-shirt sizing would be low to medium. Same with wall estimate, just to avoid the vacuum, really. Same with three-point method, low to medium as well. Throughput would be, I would say, medium in terms of medium usefulness. It's still not, the throughput is still looking at the past. You need to use probabilistic forecasting to look at the future, but even then it's smoke and mirrors a little bit. And so you need to be careful with that. A similar right sizing and no estimates, usefulness, complexity, because of the vacuum situation, it could be a bit limited. Other things that could devalue these approaches, well, with time estimation, capping the size would be a big thing. Also, cost estimation, historical time reference, and story points, capping the size is really dangerous. Also, I would say using planning poker. I'm personally not a fan of planning poker. I think, there's value in the conversation. I did talk about that in the upsides earlier on, but it's so time-consuming, and really what it produces as a result, you could have been building something. Yeah, it's devalued by that a little bit. So also, I would say with throughput, if it's devalued by not really focusing on item aging, WIP, cycle times, and it can also be devalued by this delusion that probabilistic forecasts give us the perfect answer. One of my colleagues, what he says when he shows a probabilistic forecast, he says 85% chance it'll be done by this date. In other words, 15% chance it won't be delivered by this date. I'll give you a better forecast next week. In other words, this forecast is wrong. And that last phrase is a key expression. With no estimates, something that could additionally devalue that would be, I would say, the lack of discipline with product backlog item sizing or work item sizing if you're using Kanban. And maybe also, are you really going to have a done increment? For Scrum, for example, you'd have a done increment. So are we really going to have a done increment? Or is there going to be so much pressure because we haven't size this? But I skilled people have ways around that. Yeah, there are some of the considerations in terms of how would you forecast then. What are some of the approaches for forecasting? I think throughput is useful, but I would only use it if you're using Scrum, for example. I would really only use it for the next sprint. I wouldn't be using it for a longer time period than that. So I think that would be quite dangerous. So be very careful about that in terms of saying that, because throughput is what happened in the past, not necessarily what's going to happen in the future. So you really need to be careful about that. You could use a burn up, burn down charts. I'm not sure if I'm a fan really of burn up, burn down charts. They're based on averages. And what can happen is people get into this delusion. And also it depends as well on who's looking at these charts. So some people see the average and some people just see, oh, the traffic lights are green and the sun is shining, so everything's going to be beautiful. And that's not necessarily the case. My preference would be to use probabilistic forecasting. Troy McGinnis has some free tools. Actionable Agile has some wonderful tools. You'll see some of those Actionable Agile tools in the Twig game. So check out that simulation. And you could use the probabilistic forecast for when, as in like, I have these number of items or this range of number of items, roughly when this might be done. And then you've got how many would be done by a particular day. That's another way of doing it as well. But the how many approach tends to reduce goal orientation. So if you have a particular goal, like in Scrum, if you have a sprint goal, for example, you could actually be more focused on delivering items than delivering on a goal. Pick your poison, basically. So I hope you found this session useful. If you have any questions, just contact me on social media and I'd be happy to address any of your questions. Thank you so much.